You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Come on, let's give Jesus one last shout tonight. God, we thank you for what you did over these last few days. God, we thank you that it is something that will be seen for all of eternity. God, we thank you for the freedom in this house tonight. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, stay standing. Stay standing tonight. Just blown away by, I'm blown away by you guys, really. Since Thursday, well, even before that, a lot of our team been going all week. In last service of the weekend, you show up. And you know, that's what changes the world. That's what changes the world. It is. Jesus talks about extra mile. Talks about it when, says when somebody asks you to go one, can you go two? Says, can you be inconvenienced? Can you be inconvenienced to see a miracle happen? So tonight I'm believing for that. I'm believing for all of you. My prayer is for all of you tonight that you would just be so refreshed in God, so strengthened in Him. The fight you fight is not in vain. Every time you lift your hands in worship, demons flee. Every time you show up when it's difficult, the devil gets a little bit more scared. Every time you take one step forward, the gates of hell keep bashing in again, breaking them down again. I want to pray over Laura. She is phenomenal. Laura, just lift your hands. She performed the item. She also made the item and all the other ones that happened all over North, Central, everywhere. And just praying for you before the service, stepping into the new role and the new area and what you're doing and going after, really believe and really see just this new level of creativity coming on you. Where it's not going to be this, oh, I need a creative idea. You're going to have so many. I see on this board these creative ideas flowing in, and I see things that have never been done before, things that have never been attempted before. But you're like, we're going to do those in church. Because the church is meant to be creative. Our God created the earth. He's the most creative being there is. Our God. And I see that on you. But here's the thing. It's not just creativity, but faithfulness. And I'm not just talking about faithfulness showing up. I'm talking about faithfulness multiplying. The multiplication of faithfulness that you have to say, when I have been given something, I'm going to multiply that which I have been given. So God, right now I thank you for this mighty woman of God. I thank you that through her creativity, I thank you that through her gifting, people are going to see you like they've never seen you before. God, people are going to say, wow, this God who I thought was boring and dead and black and white, I see so much life and color through this God. Lord, I thank you that you would speak to her, God, that in her dreams she would have new creative ideas. God, while she prays and while she worships, a new thought and a new idea to reach more people for you would come to her mind. God, I thank you that you are equipping her for this next season. God, a season that's not just stretching, but God, a season that God, she is going to grow and multiply. God, your hand on her, your hand on Heath, on their marriage, on their lives. God, I thank you that you have called her for such a time as this, for this time. For this purpose, for this moment, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We love you, Laura. All right, why don't you give somebody a high five? You can take your seat. Thanks, Ben. Hey, can we give a massive, massive round of applause to all of our musicians? Gabe Hale's fourth service of today, not including Cherish. Did he play at Cherish?
The whole time.
So that's a yes. Yes, he did. And we love you guys as well as the media team and the music, the sound team, and just absolutely exceptional human beings. We're so proud of you guys. We know that we couldn't do what we do without you. So thank you for everything that you do. Hey, tonight we're going to have some fun. I don't mean a whole lot of jokes. I just mean church is fun. So we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun because God is here. And Sunday night, and the Chargers did not win. I just ruined it for some people. It's okay, man. It's truth. It was, yeah, you're like, well, when I checked, yes, I know. When we checked the score, it did not look that way, but hey, that's just how it goes every week. Okay, so I love them with all my heart, but they just keep abusing me, you know? I feel like I keep letting them back in my heart. This is all on podcast, too. They don't edit it anymore. So if LT, if you're listening, come back. Yes. Come back. Amen. All right. Hey, so tonight we're starting our Stars and Stripes series. Yeah. And I get to preach with bird cages. So here we go. Stars and Stripes, God bless America. And as you know, it's election season, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, because there's a lot of things that are happening right now that the church needs to be involved in. There's a lot of things happening right now that you and I need to be involved in, and so this series is about that, because we are one nation under God. We're the only nation that has that, that says that. We're the only nation on a currency, in God we trust, is all over our country. God has designed and purposed the United States of America for a reason, for this time. He has set us in this place for this season, for this moment. This is not our moment to shrink back. This is not our moment to take a step back. This is our moment to step forward into all that God has called us to be. Let me tell you this. This is not the United States of America's final moment. This is our finest moment. This is not the church's final hours. This is our finest hours. You got to understand that, because we have too many people dwelling on the end times. Who cares? We know what's going to happen. God wins. We win. The devil loses. We party for eternity. Get over it. Done. Stop talking about it. Nobody cares. What matters is what's happening right now. Right now, it's our finest hour. This is a time where God can shine the brightest, because in the darkest times, the light is the brightest. This is our moment. This is our time. But we are not meant to exclude ourselves from everything. We're meant to be in everything. God is meant to be a part of everything. God is meant to be a part of music, and he's meant to be a part of dance, and he's meant to be a part of movies. He's meant to be a part of everything. God created it all. But other people have abused that and taken that away and perverted that. So the church needs to take that back. And that's everything. That's politics. That's everything. Amen. It's our finest hour. So this is what I want to do in just to kind of kick it off, I want to talk tonight, and the title of my message is God Bless America. God Bless America. But God's blessing is not automatic. Just because we live in the U.S. doesn't mean that God's blessing the U.S. Just because he did bless it doesn't mean he is still blessing it or is always going to bless it. It's not just something he's going to do. No, we have to stay in the same place that we started in the first place. And so I want us to turn to Esther chapter 4. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible right here. It fires me up, and I thank God we just came off of Cherish Conference. And so I'm preaching about a woman tonight, a woman of God, and I think that's appropriate. So we're going to read this. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went out as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in the front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. There was a conspiracy to kill all the Jewish people. It's funny that it's happened then and it happened later. It's continually happening that the enemy is trying to kill off God's chosen people. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one lot. Put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Some of us know the rest of the story. Basically, Esther went in and the king heard Esther, and Esther saved the Jewish people from destruction and from death because she went in when everybody else ran out. She decided to stand up when everybody took a seat down. She decided to speak up when everybody was silent. So I love this girl. I love what Esther did. And the thing is God is looking for a bunch of Esthers for today. Now we're starting our Stars and Stripes. And like I said, it's not automatic that God will bless America. You know, one of the tragedies and one of the things that drives me more crazy than anything else is when we see all these things happening on the television and the elections and this person and this person and this nominee and this candidate and all of these things. And because Christians are on their high horse, we don't like anybody. So what we say is, well, I think I'm just going to sit this one out. I think I'm just going to sit this one out and because I don't really like anything. And to tell you the truth, if you're a Christian, you don't got that luxury. If you're a believer in God, we don't have that luxury. Now you think, well, the pastor's getting all political. No, I'm actually just bringing God where he's meant to be. So we don't have the luxury to sit back and do nothing. We don't have the luxury just to say, well, I'm just going to send you something, or I'm just going to pray, or I'm just going to do this and nothing else. We don't have the luxury to do that. You know, there's people from the beginning of this nation, people have fought and died and bled for the right to vote. For the right and the ability to tick a box. So now we don't have the luxury to not take part in that. Just because you might not agree with everything that's happening does not give us a right to not do something about it. See, do you know that God doesn't teach us that when you don't like something, sit out? The Bible says that when we don't like something, do something about it. God has given us the power to change the things that we don't like. He's given us the power. He's given us a thing called speech. He's given us a thing called our gifts and our abilities and our talents. And every single one of those are meant to be that we can stand in the gap between something that we don't like and where we know it's meant to be and say, I will do something about it. While I live and while I got breath in my lungs, I will do something about the state of my country, the state of my children, the state of the unborn. I will do something about it. We do not have the luxury to sit things out. We don't have the luxury to sit on the sideline and just watch people do things. God has called us to be a part of the game. God has called us as Christians to be the influencers. To not be the influencees, to be the influencers. Our biggest enemy is not the candidates. Our biggest enemy right now is whether or not we're going to do something about it. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. Our biggest enemy is us. Are we going to sit this one out? Are we going to step in and say, you know what? I believe that God is above. I believe God is in control. But I also believe that he has empowered us to do something. See, what we said in the title of my message is God bless America. But I understand that it is not automatic. That people before me had to fight for it. That the founding fathers had to fight for it. And now it's my responsibility to continue to fight for it. Because I know that God has placed us here at this time for a reason. Our nation, our church, us, all of us. I said this before, but sometimes I think maybe I was born in the wrong era. Like I want to be a cowboy so bad sometimes. Seriously. Where I could just wear guns all the time. Like, that's one of my like, desires. Anytime I watch a Western, in fact, I'm into this show, Longmire, and it's awesome. And it's based in Wyoming, and it's based in modern times, but it's in Wyoming. And every time I watch it, I look at Brianna, I'm like, babe, would you move there? And she doesn't even pray about it, church. Which is supposed to be the Christian response. She didn't think about it. She doesn't fast about it. She just says no. So my cowboy dreams are not going to be fulfilled. But I came to this realization because I kept trying to live a life that was not mine. Trying to think, well, I wish I lived back in. And God's like, why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you do that? Do you think that you're an accident? Do you think that you were here not on purpose? Do you think I didn't plan you to be here with, well, my personality type and what I like is I feel like I'm in the wrong time zone. And God's like, well, I wanted that here for this purpose. I wanted how you think for here. I wanted how you act for here. God's like, stop thinking that I made a mistake putting you here, because when you do, you insult the one that created you. And so I had to have a big rebuke from God. And so now I know that man, everything that's on the inside of me is for this time, for this moment, for this nation, for this city, for this church, for North County, San Diego, that God has put me here and placed me here for the reason, for a purpose, just like Esther, man. People would have think, well, Esther, man, the king, he pulled you from a bunch of women. Isn't that a mistake? Or, oh, man, that's kind of unfortunate. But no, that wasn't unfortunate, because God said, listen, I need to get her in this place so she can influence the place that she's at. Because God said there's a time coming where my people are going to need help. So I need a voice in the middle of this palace that can speak up for the people of God, so that when they need help can be a voice for those that can't speak for themselves. See, do you not understand this? That God has placed us in this nation, in this city, at this time, because we have a voice and it needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. God has given us a unique opportunity that where they are, that the entire world looks at us. For what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're responding and how we're acting. My prayer is that we would be again one nation under God. And if you look at statistics, there are more, in the number of Christians in the United States of America hasn't really decreased. It hasn't. Because a lot of people will say they're Christians. A lot of people when you get surveyed and at your house, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's what I believe. But not a lot of us are actually acting it out. Not a lot of us are actually doing it. Not a lot of us are actually doing what we should do and speaking what we should speak and influencing who we should influence. And God has called us, just like God called Esther, God has placed us. Just like God called Daniel, just like God called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God has called us for this hour, for this moment. I love Mordecai because he says, well, maybe, just maybe, you are here for such a time as this. You might think it's a mistake. You might think it's unfortunate. You might think that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but God says, I do not make mistakes like that. I have put you here. I have placed you here. You're the right person at the right time. So let's stop being silent. Let's start speaking up. Let's start influencing and changing things, because we believe that this nation is one nation under God. But we understand this, that in order for it to remain that way, we have to be people that are no longer silent, but we are people that speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. As you can see, this sort of thing fires me up. Mordecai goes out and he takes his clothes off. He puts sackcloth and ashes on. And Esther's first response is this: why don't you get the man some clothes? But Mordecai turns away and he says, I don't need clothes. I can get that from anyone. What I can't get from anyone is a voice in the king's palace. What I can't get from anyone is somebody to change the situation and the circumstance. Mordecai says, you're trying to close my outward appearance, but what I need you to be is a voice for the people of God. I need you to be a voice for me. See, a lot of times we just want to clothe it. We just want to mask it. We just want to do what's required of us so we look all good. Well, I helped this person, and I fed this person, and I did this thing, but God is like, listen, I don't need you to do that. I can use anybody to do that. God has called us for a unique purpose at a unique time at this moment so we can change. Listen, if we all stood up and do something, we can change not just our city, not just our nation. We can change the entire world. We can change it by standing up and saying, listen, every one of us, the reason that the U.S. is blessed, the reason that the U.S. is great, the reason that we have a great nation where we can worship God on a Sunday and nobody is attacking us or condemning us, the reason we can is because people before us worship God. People before us died and paid a price for us to do that. So now it's been passed to us. So for us to fight, for us to sacrifice, for us to say, God, what is it that you want us to do? More than any time, I believe that this is not the final hour. This is our finest hour. This is a moment where the church can shine and truly be the salt and light of the earth. Or it's a moment where we can shrink back and say, I'm just afraid of what's about to happen, so I'm going to sit this one out. What would Jesus do? WWJD. What would he do? He doesn't sit things out. He gets in it, in everybody's business, because he understands that Jesus and the church is meant to be in everybody's business. Let me tell you this. Charles Finney, which was kind of the modern-day revivalist, and did some incredible things. Helped abolish slavery, helped start up the Underground Railroad, helping set slaves free. Charles Finney, an incredible man, and just started new ways of preaching in the church and started this thing where, and it's pretty incredible if you read about him. In his church services, he would bring people forward to pray for him. And they're like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? Because that was so unheard of and unseen before, but he would bring people forward and they would pray for him and they would believe for things and the things that he did and the things that he started and how incredible he was. He said this. He said this. He says, God will bless or curse America, depending on the course Christians take in politics. He said, God will bless or curse America, depending on the course that Christians take in politics. See, God has called us to be the influencers. He's called us to be the salt and the light. To be in those places that's going to hurt a little bit, that's going to sting a little bit. In a dark place, it's going to blind a little bit, but God has called you to be in there. If it's not comfortable, that's probably a good thing. If it's not easy, you know it's probably a calling from God. God has called us to be in those places. Sometimes you will be one person in amongst the 10 people that don't believe the same things that you do. Well, then you understand that you're in the right place at the right time, because that's all that we see through history is the exact same thing. But God understands this, that if I can just get one person in there, then I will be with them. Unless we go, God can't be with us. God will be with us, but if we can't go to those places, then God can't get in those places. God uses man to transform the world. God uses man to influence the world. God uses man to do something extraordinary for him. I refuse to live my life and just see the same old things happen. I refuse to get to the end of my life and say, well, that had a good run, or oh, that was a good time, and nothing really changed in America. See, I understand that the role of my job in this church and my position is not just to have great worship services, but for you guys to step into this place where you feel a conviction and say, I know that my life is to get better. I'm meant to encounter God so I can go out to there and influence the world, influence my schools, influence my colleges, influence my workplace, influence the United States of America, that God has called us to be the salt and the light of the earth. So she clothes him, but he says, that's not what I need. I don't need that. I need you to do something. I need you to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. And he goes on, and Esther says, listen, I can't do it because don't you know that the king has to invite me in? I have to be invited. And he hasn't invited me for 30 days, which means he probably never will. It means he's probably done with me and over with me, and he's never going to want to see me again. And that's why Mordecai says, don't you understand that? Don't think that just because you're in the palace that you're going to escape from this thing that we're in. Just because you don't think that by you sitting out, you can escape what's about to happen. Don't think by you taking a step back that you can escape what's about to happen. I think so many people right now are in that same place. And I know I'm speaking to the choir. So what I'm trying to do is equip you to go and tell all those people out there that are trying to take a seat back and a step back. We understand that just because or just if we take a step back does not mean that we're going to miss out and be safe from what can happen. What we actually have to do is get involved and be influencers. By us stepping back, the unborn children aren't getting a better fight. Do you know, what we think is this, and here's another tragedy is, well, God's in control, so I don't have to do anything. Who told you that? Who told you? Who told us that? Who told us that we so believe in a lie that we can just sit back and just, God is in control and I don't have to do anything? God is in control, but he wants to use us to change things. He wants to use us. Now let me prove my point. If God is always in control and whoever comes into command is God's will and all that's good, then what about a man called Adolf Hitler? Who killed 6 million Jews, murdered them, tortured them, beat them. What about that? Which means this, if we have an opportunity to influence, we have an opportunity to change things, we have an opportunity to stand in the gap and say, not on my watch, I will not see something like that happen again. Now we all say, okay, I will not let something like that happen again, but the truth is we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it right now with our children who've got no voice, with the babies that got nobody to speak for them. In the last 30 or 40 years, about 53 million unborn children have been killed. 53 million. Is there not a cause? How can we believe that if we just step back and sit this one out that it's going to solve itself? It's not gonna solve itself. We have to get involved in things. We have to be a voice for them. Because they are crying out, will somebody speak for me? Will somebody speak up for me? Now, I'm not just talking if you can vote or not vote. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about 13, 14-year-olds. I'm talking about every single person under the sound of my voice. You can be an influencer for the kingdom of God. You can be an influencer that says, listen, I will stand up for those that can't. I will be a voice for those that cannot speak. I will be somebody that goes into king's palaces when it might be the most dangerous time, but I will speak up because I know that God has sent me. God has put me in this place at this time for such a time as this. I will not shrink back. I will not be silent at this time. No, I will be a voice for people that cannot speak. Esther says, I will not remain silent. But the truth is a lot of us do. We remain silent. Why? Because it's not popular. It's not popular to speak our mind. It's not popular to tell the truth. It's not popular to speak what the Bible speaks. We're just meant to tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And so now we're living this life where the Bible has nothing, where the Bible has everything to do with our quiet time, just nothing to do with our workspace and our school space and any of those spaces. We take the Bible out in the morning, but we put it away when we go to work because we don't want to offend anybody with the truth of God. But what we got to understand is this, it's the truth of God that leads to repentance. What we have to understand is God's word is the only thing that will change somebody's heart. And unless some people are speaking it, how will anybody hear? The Bible says, how will they hear unless anybody speaks? So if we want people to hear, man, I wonder how many times on the television, just like me, man, why are you people saying those things? Is nobody telling you the truth? No, they're not. Because we have bought into a lie that the truth is offensive. That the truth is not going to do anything. The devil has so woven his way. Come on, band, come up. I thought this message was going to be quicker. But I'm fired up. He's so woven his way into every aspect that we stop believing the truth and diluting it and just giving an aspect and a touch of it and a part of it, but not every part of it. And so people aren't walking away free. The people aren't walking away where God wants them to be. So we remain silent because, like I said, we think it won't affect me. It won't affect me. But I wonder if we could stop living a life that's just about us. And we could start thinking about the generation after us and the generation after them. Because the decisions that we make today will affect the generation to come. The moments where we speak up for those that can't speak for themselves will help the generation to come. We have to be a voice in the middle of a palace like Esther. He said, listen, I don't want to, but Mordecai just said one thing. He said, don't think that you're going to escape. And Esther, I need you to listen. I need you to pay so close attention. He says, don't think that you being in the palace is a mistake. It is not a mistake. It might just be that God has called you for such a time as this. And it's at that moment that changes everything for Esther. It's at that moment that everything changes. Esther leaves. Esther hears that word and she says, go. Go. I wasn't going to speak. I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to do anything. But because of those words, something in my spirit came alive. Do you know our job here? When we preach on stage here, anybody who speaks here, one of our missions and our goals is that the words that are coming out of my mouth and the scripture that I'm reading to hear tonight would be something that ignites a fire on the inside of your spirit, where you walk out of this place saying, I will no longer be silent. I will no longer be silent. I will no longer sit back and watch my friends overdose on drugs. I will no longer sit back and watch that unborn children die again. I will no longer sit back and watch that person get robbed of the future that they have for them. Because I know that I was called for such a time as this. This moment, this time, this palace, this school, this college, this workplace. You're here. This is your time. This is not the devil's time. This is our time. This is not his finest hour. This is his final hour. This is our time to make the name of Jesus famous again, to make his name glorious again, to say, listen, people, nobody's going to fight for you, but there's some people in North County, San Diego, that still got a little bit of fight left in them. Still got a little bit of passion left in them. Still got a little bit of not on my watch left in them. That will do anything and everything. Okay, I'm gonna finish in just a moment. But now I'm getting to the real thing here. The real thing. Go. Gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She says, go, fast, pray, do your thing. But I gotta go. Now, I need you to understand this. I need you to understand that some of us, God has called us to pray. Some of us, God has called us to do those things, and that's our mission, and that's our job, and you be the best prayer you better can be. You pray the best prayers. You fast like nobody's business, and that's what God has called you to do. But I think there's some people in here that God has not just called you to pray prayers. He has called you to go to kings. He has not just called you to say some nice things. He has not called you just to sit back and just plead and hope. God says, listen, pray some prayers and then go to kings. Pray some prayers and then go to kings. Pray some prayers and then go to kings. Go to the principals. Go to the mayors. Go to the president. Go to senators, congressmen. Go to all these kings until God reigns in the United States. Keep going to the kings. Keep showing up. Influence people. Change a world. Change a city. Pray and go. Pray and go. Pray and go. Don't just sit back, Matt Stack. Go to kings. Go to kings. Don't just sit and wait. Don't just sit back and hope. Go to the kings. Influence humanity. Change a city. Change a world. Why? Because I still believe that God is not done with the United States of America. I still believe that our finest days are still ahead of us. I still believe. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Three people. First one, Jonah Arc. Joan of Arc gets a vision from God. God says, you understand this. This is, when we read about history, it sounds good, right? It sounds like, well, this is cool. Wow, that's amazing. We watch a movie, it's amazing. But when we're actually in it, we don't really realize that we're in the middle of history making. Joan of Arc, teenage girl. God's in a dream, says, I need you to go to the king of France, and you need to tell him to give me your army. Crazy. 16-year-old girl. What? Who's 16? Right here. Bridget, are you 16? One of these girls? Anybody 16? Charlie, that's right. He's had a birthday. Charlie, stand up. God speaks to Charlie. Says, Charlie, I need you to go to the president of the United States, and I need you to tell him to give me your army. You'd be like, Charlie, here's a pill. Sit down. You can sit. But Joan of Arc's like, oh, good idea. So she goes to the king and says, listen, I know you're in this fight with England. I know it's not going so well. So why don't you just give me your army and I'll go take care of business. Oh, okay. Have you fought? No, no. How old are you? Oh, 16. Have you fought? No, I haven't fought. I haven't commanded anything. And the king's like, all right, fine. So he gives her, this is crazy. These things don't happen, but the crazier thing is this, is it never would have happened. History never would have written that down. If a girl who was not qualified was not obedient to the God of the universe, she said, listen, I know I'm not qualified. I know I'm not capable. I know I don't even know what I'm doing, but God spoke to me and I prayed and now I got to go to a king. So she went and victory was had. Why? Because she went when everybody else ran. Because she stood up when everybody else sat down. William Wilberforce, same thing. Abolishing the slave trade, got thrown out and thrown out and thrown out, but he kept going and kept going and kept going and kept persisting, kept believing, kept going, kept going, kept going, and now the world is changed because of one man saying, listen, I will not just pray, I will go to kings and I will keep going until what I know needs to happen in God's word is going to happen in the courtrooms, is going to happen in the nation, is going to happen in the world. I will keep going. Last person, somebody that you probably don't know who he is. His name is Peter von Molenburg. Peter von Molenburg. Peter von Molenburg was a pastor just before the Revolutionary War, was a pastor in a church. And he stood up kind of in the height of, right before the war was about to kick off. And he stood up in his, you know, preacher garb, which is a little bit like this. And he stood up. He stood up and he read Ecclesiastes. And he said, there's a time for peace, and it's a time for war. And he says, right now is a time for war. And in that moment, he takes off his priestly outfit. Underneath his outfit is a soldier's uniform. He steps off of the podium, and he goes and he fights for a nation that hadn't even become a nation yet. They called him the Fighting Parson. He was a lieutenant general by the time he was done. Influenced. Because in those days, the pulpit influenced the nation. The people of God influenced the nation of God. In those days, what was said in the church echoed through the country. In those days, so much so that people would send letters to the pastors, would send letters and say, listen, I need you to speak. In fact, the Provisional Congress of Massachusetts sent letters to the pastors and said, thank you for what you're doing and what you're speaking up and what you're saying about the freedom of our nation, because it's making a difference. They said, thank you for speaking out against injustice, because what you're speaking is changing the course of history. And after the war had finished, they said this. They say, we see the pulpit preaching in the Protestant churches of America provided the moral force which won her independence. Basically, what they're saying, if you don't understand that, I need to clarify it. What they're saying is this: what you preach in your pulpit won the United States of America its independence. Now, when did we stop believing that? When did we stop believing that our voice does not matter? That what we think does not matter? That our opinion doesn't matter? When did we... I got it. I'm going to get fired up. Can we believe again? Just like him. Just like Joan of Arc, just like William Wilberforce, that our voice still matters, that what we say here is going to echo across the United States of America, that we believe in God we trusted and in God we still trust, that we will be a voice for people that can't speak for themselves. We will be one nation under God. We believe that God will bless America again. We are not done fighting. We are not done standing. We are not done influencing. We have just begun to do things that have never been done, see things that have never been seen. We are just getting warmed up, devil. If you think we're going to retreat, you better think again. We're about to get more involved than you have ever seen the church. If you thought it was bad back then, you just wait, because there's a voice rising up that is going to shout when everybody else is silent. I will go. And if I perish, I perish. But I know when I perish, it will not be for nothing. I will fight. I will sacrifice. I will see a nation on their knees again, saying, God, my God, I trust you again. God, I worship you again. God, we are sorry for where we went, but we are coming back to you. We will let our voice not just echo in the nation, we will let our voice echo in the world, that the world will see that there is only one God, that it has not changed, that it has not gone away. No, there's only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the only one to serve. He is the only one worth worshiping. He's the only one worth dying for. He's the only one worth fighting for. I will give. I will sacrifice. We will endure. Come on, stand your feet. We're going to sing this song as we finish this service. Now, you better believe this is the appropriate time to go after it. Come on, you ready? Come on, lift up your voice. I thank you right now for your spirit. God, the spirit of Esther on the inside of all of us. God, you've done it before. Do it again. Use us to influence, to change, to be a voice. I thank you, God, that now's the time for us to make war on the enemy. I thank you, Jesus, that this is the church's finest hour. Thank you because the voice of our team, our leaders, our people. God, we thank you that prayer will be welcomed back into every school. God, we thank you that the name of Jesus will be exalted in every courthouse, in every public place, not just as a routine, but God, as a way of living and a way of life. God, we believe it can be done. Help us. Help us to change it, to do what we need to do. God, that we would not set back, we would not take a seat back, but God, we would be people who influence, that rest on people right now. We would not be silent. That we will go. We will go to the kings of this world. We will go to the kings of our city. We will go to the kings of our nation. And we will influence them because we know that when we go, you are with us. Every place the sole of our foot shall tread, you have given us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, let's do something. Let's do it. We're gonna do it. We're gonna change the world. We're gonna change the world. Our nation. I'll tell you. Usually, I save this for Christmas time, and this is the last thing, and then I'll be done. Christmas time. Usually, I save this. But one year, I was walking around and. You know how all the stores put Christmas music on. Well, you can't play Christmas music without talking about Jesus. So you see, like, there was, like, something different. And I was listening, and every store was playing, like, oh, Silent Night or The First Noel or all of these songs, and all of them had Jesus. And I was wondering why there was a different spirit happening. It was a different spirit happening because what was maybe the day before was degrading and bringing down. Was now lifting up, and everything changed. Our job is to do that. Our job is to make his name famous again, to lift it up above every name. Lift it up. That's what we get to do. Some of you might do massive things. Some of you might be senators. Presidents, why not? But some of you are just going to influence the ones and the twos. It all matters to God, and it all matters to them. It all matters for those kids that maybe before we did something would never have seen life on this earth, but because we stepped up, they'll be the next Billy Graham, the next Charles Finney, the next William Wilberforce, the next Joan of Arc. Because on this day, when we could have been silent, we refused to be. That's what God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Love you, church. Next week, continuing Stars and Stripes. I think it's all good. It is all legit. Just be here next week. You're going to love it. Have a great night. We love you. Take somebody out to dinner. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. To
Find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego. Go to c3sandiego.com.